Kevin Millar joins us on Sports Byline USA. 12 years in the major leagues with the Florida Marlins, Boston Red Sox, Baltimore Orioles, and the Toronto Blue Jays. And Kevin, anytime anybody plays double-digit years in any professional sport, they get my respect and appreciation. When you look back about playing that long, what is the thing that amazes you most about your career?
Well, I'll tell you right now, it was just one of those things that, you know, not being drafted was, first of all, a big, you know, big hill to climb. But the one thing about myself personally, I always tell this to people, I love the game more than anybody. I wasn't blessed with a whole five toolbox that scouts and everything, you know, size and speed and power and all stuff. But the one thing I was blessed is I love the game. So I always say they need a scout. If this kid loves the game, there should be a sixth tool. And that was the one thing I had, is I loved every day I was in the big leagues. I appreciated every day I was in the big leagues. And to look up and say, hey, man, you've played 12 minus and have a World Series ring, it's a pretty neat honor.
The other thing, Kevin, aside from being able to play the double-digit years, you were also able to play multiple positions. What did you have to do mentally as far as adapting from one position to the next?
You know, that's a great question. I was, you know, I played the corners, basically. I couldn't run. So I was either in left field, right field, first, or third. And it was just something that my thing was, is I was in a line because I can hit. And, you know, I came up as a third baseman, never had the huge arm strength, but can play over there. But I ended up playing a lot of first base. And then when Trot Nixon went down in 03, I played a lot of right field for the Red Sox. I played a lot of right field for the Marlins before then. So I really learned to play the outfield kind of on the wing. And I have a funny story with, you know, Tony Perez takes over for manager. John Bowles gets fired in Florida in 2001. And Tony Perez asked me, he goes, can you play the outfield? So I don't want to get your bat in the lineup, because we had Derek Lee at first base. And I said, yeah, definitely. And I never played the outfield in my life. I grabbed Andre Dawson the next day. We were out there at 1 o'clock. And I said, you got to hit me some fly balls. I'm playing the outfield. So I was in right field. Told Tony Perez I was an outfielder. I played before, never had taken a fly ball in my life, and Andre Dawson helped me for about 4 hours. We're out there sweating. I got Andre Dawson out there hitting me fungos, and the rest was history, and it was just a great time.
You know as well as I do that each organization has its own kind of personality, and players that either play in the organization or come up through their system kind of learn how to play that way. Now, you played with a number of organizations. Tell me the ones that you respected for the way they played the game and the way they developed their players.
Well, Florida Marlins are always dear to my heart, because it was just one of those things. They drafted well. We were a young organization. We had a lot of hard-throwing kids, you know, from Josh Beckett to Brad Penny, A.J. Burnett, Ryan Dempster, that just threw the ball 100 miles an hour. And you had a lot of ability, you know, Luis Castillo and Alex Gonzalez up the middle. But they had just great talent. We were young, and we got beat by the Braves and Mets a lot. But I appreciated the grind that and the opportunity that Marlins always gave me. But I don't think there was a second to none in the Boston Red Sox organization. You know, I went there from 03 to 05, obviously a World Series win. But that organization in that city, it's indescribable. I mean, I grew up on the West Coast, a Dodger fan my whole life. That East Coast mentality and that East Coast type, just that drive to gas for a winner, it's an amazing experience. And every single pitch, every single out, those fans and that organization live for.
The other thing is, along the way in my career, I was a sportscaster on television in Boston, so I know what you're talking about. And, Kevin, the only thing that ever scared me is if I ever went on the air and said Carl Yastrzemski's batting average was .335 and it happened to be .336, I'd hear from every little old lady.
Isn't that the truth, right? I'm telling you. They know. That's the one unique thing about Boston, and you can't explain it to experience it. But from 5 years old little girl to a 90-year-old old lady will have the Red Sox t-shirt jerseys on, and it's amazing the knowledge that they all have. It's second to none. It's like a generation after generation. And when we won at 04, the hugs and thank yous and just the pain that they've endured all the years, that we were just a player, we played the game and did what we're supposed to do. There is generations of just misery up to that point, and so they are so appreciative, and it's amazing the knowledge.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who said, I can now die in peace.
Right? That's what they all say. So it was a pretty neat honor to be able to bring a championship to that city.
Let me ask you about 2004, because championship seasons always have a catalyst. They always have a key point in them where a team could go one direction or the other. What was that key point, Kevin, in that season?
I think definitely when we traded Nomar Garciaparra, it shocked everybody and the city, and he was the closest thing to Ted Williams that we we had in that city, because he just, you know, with the rookie of the year and just a stud offensively. But there was something missing on this club, and Theo felt that we need to go ahead and make a move. And he traded Nomar at that point to the Cubs, and we brought in Orlando Cabrera right around the deadline. And it just seemed to, you know, our team was 500 up to that point, but it seemed to just really catapult our club. Orlando Cabrera was just a great player, very enthusiastic, and just a great teammate. So I think that was the turning point, that our team just kind of went on another level. And we believed, and the next thing you know, we just grinded our way through to the playoffs, and ultimately being down 0-3 of the Yankees and coming back from that series, never had been done before ever, and swept the Cardinals. So I think that was the one trade, I think, that if you look back at that year, like, how did you guys trade Nomar and you guys are winning? I don't know. I can't ask that question, but I know Orlando Cabrera was a huge part.
One thing I do know is that players can certainly have a feel or a sense for things in series or in games. And you talk about that Yankees series when you were down 0-3, come back to win it. And, of course, that key game, that key bottom of the ninth play as well, where Dave Roberts comes in to pinch hit, steals second base. He'd later score the tying run in game four of the ALCS. But I'm just wondering, did you guys sense anything in the Yankees that was going to collapse? I mean, that was such a major surprise, Kevin.
Yeah, at that point, I didn't know how we were going to win game four. And I was just telling the story earlier today, but I just said, if we win game four, it don't let us win tonight, because if we do, we have Pedro Martinez in game five, we have Curt Schilling in game six, and by that time, anything's going to happen in game seven. I know the Yankees will have their back against the wall. As soon as we got that W, I mean, people forget we're down 0-3 and in the ninth inning. I was leading off against Mariano and ended up walking, like you said, and Roberts comes in to steal and score. You could see the error in that dugout. Even though they're up 3-1, they knew that this team was for real. We were just wacky enough to believe in ourselves. We were just crazy enough and good enough to compete. And they knew at that point that they got to find a way to win, and they couldn't. Big Poppy won basically game four and five for us in extra innings. Next thing you know, Curt Schilling the bloody socks in game six. And it was just in a remarkable heavyweight bout amongst two great clubs that were so opposite. They were tall and rich and handsome, and we were just bad bodies and burly and shaved heads that just went at it toe-to-toe, and we ultimately end up knocking them out.
I've had my friends tell me that Dave Roberts, did he have the green light to steal, or how did it go about that he took second base?
100%. I mean, he was in there to steal a bag. You go whenever you're comfortable. And he went on that first pitch or second pitch, whatever it was. And I'm telling you, it was a remarkable throw by Jorge Posada, the best throw he's probably ever thrown to second base. And he beat it by a wrist. And it's just what it's about. That's what a team's about. There's not one guy. People don't even know how we scored Dave Roberts. It was Billy Miller with the base hit against Mariano Rivera to score him. So many people contributed. I mean, we had a guy, Kurt Luskanik, come in and shut down two innings of extra inning ball, and Tim Wakefield coming in out of relief. And this team was built around a team, and that's what made us. We weren't the best players by any means, position by position, but you looked at this team, there was not a better team.
Kevin, I think people can tell by listening to your voice the enthusiasm and the passion you have for the game. And when I hear somebody like yourself talk about the game the way you do, I always think it must have been hard to take off the uniform for the last time. Am I correct in that observation?
It really was. It was a unique thing. You know it comes. You're just never ready for it. And I got released in 2010. And I'll tell you, I popped up to shortstop, and it was the last day of camp. The day before, and I came to the yard expecting to make the club, and Lou Piniella and these guys, I got tapped on the shoulder, and they told me they're going to take Chad Tracy, a left-hand hitter, and ultimately I left. I had my full uniform on. I got my car. You know, the man tears started when you make the call to your dad and your wife, and it's just, you know, hey, it's over. But you know what I did is I played for the St. Paul Saints in 93 in the Independent League, and that's how I started my career. I wasn't drafted, went there, and I called the Saints, and I said, you know what? I'm going to finish my career there, because you're never ready for the last at bat, right? You know, no one told me, hey, this is your last at bat, and you're going to be released. So I went there and finished where I started. And I went to the Northern League and played the last six games, brought my family, my kids. And I just knew that that's going to give me closure. This is it. I'm going to finish where I started. And how often do you get a chance to do that? And I'll tell you what, it was the best thing I've ever done.
Is there a particular memory in your mind of the 12-year career and the long time you were in baseball that when you sit back, Kevin Millar sits back and thinks about it, you smile a little bit, and it's kind of ingrained in your mind?
I really do. Because I know one thing. You know, I always tell guys now that are playing still, and I'm around the game a lot with the show I do. I just said, listen, have fun. Enjoy every day. It goes so quick, guys. Trust me. I was in the chair listening to the same guy saying the same thing. Enjoy it. It's a game. You're blessed to play it. You make money. You're able to take care of your family. But enjoy every day and sign the autographs and give the high fives to the kids when you walk at a ballpark. Be a good guy. Be a good guy and appreciate every day you're there. And believe me, you'll have nothing to look back on. And I can honestly say that I enjoyed every single day I got in a cab and said, take me to the stadium, because I appreciate it. So I have no regrets. And so I know some players, they do have regrets because they could have enjoyed it more or relaxed more. That's my only advice to the players now. Enjoy every day.
We only have a couple minutes left, but you're working for Major League Baseball Network. And I'm wondering if that perspective, I have a lot of friends that were either players or coaches that are in, you know, broadcasting now. That perspective, how is that different from the playing perspective?
Well, it's interesting because it ultimately looks like the game's gotten a lot easier from the side, and you realize it's still a tough game. And I got to tell guys, listen, it's still tough. But you know what? I enjoy giving it from a player's side. You know, why did that guy throw the ball away at shortstop, you know, when it was raining? Well, have you ever thrown a wet bar of soap? You know, you explain, you analyze, we're the analysts. So you have the host that talks the game, and then you have the analysts that we explain what it's like facing CC Sabathia or Justin Verlander. So that's been the neat thing. You're almost like a coach, and you're talking to kids, and you're talking to a camera, but you're trying to give the input of, you know, how or what it's like to face a certain guy. And that's been the fun part about this transition is you're still talking baseball. It's the only thing I know and love.
Is one of the hardest things for a guy that played the game and then goes over to the media or broadcast side the fact that when you're playing the game, you always hated the fact that somebody might criticize you from the media that never put the jock strap on, the uniform on, and really doesn't know how hard it is to play this game over a long season, and now all of a sudden you're on the other side, and even though you played this game, is it hard for you to criticize, or do you approach it from a different perspective, Kevin, that you tell people why things happen, not that they just didn't do it?
It's a great question, because the toughest thing is you have to get on another player. But my biggest thing is as soon as you give lack of effort, I'll get on you immediately. I think you can control the way you play this game, and that's hard and right. But I will explain the struggles also, depending on a guy's struggles. If it's a pitcher, if it's a guy that's hitting, explain what they're going through. We are human beings. You are going to have bad first halves. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have good days. You're going to have career years. You're going to have career low years. The thing about this is it's hard not to get that knee-jerk reaction. It's a long season. Albert Pujols starts off hitting 100 per month and no home runs, and everybody's just listen, it's a long season. They called an average for a reason. He's working hard, and you got to understand that side of it. But you have to be credible. You can't just be the buddy-buddy guy. And, I speak the truth. I speak from my heart, and I think it's respected.
We only have a minute left, but you're playing golf up at Lake Tahoe in that great tournament up there. What is it about athletes in golf? I had a friend of mine tell me it's the only game that they know of in which they can hit a ball that doesn't move.
It's an amazing sport. You're used to competing for 20 years. It's me versus the pitcher. Now I'm done. I'm like, where do I got to get this competition from? Well, I picked up golf. I absolutely love it. I'm a golf groupie and got invited to this wonderful tournament. It's been the most amazing few days so far. It hasn't even started. Played the Pro-Am today. Great group of guys. A lot of fun. Fans are, enthusiastic. It's Lake Tahoe. I think this is where God lives. I always tell him this is where he lives. It's just a beautiful, beautiful event, and I'm excited to be a part of it and thankful to be a part of it.
Playing at that altitude, is it a little bit strange?
It is. You know what? Everything's about 10% longer. So, if you hit your 8-iron about 150, you're probably going to hit 160 or vice versa. And it's that's been the neat thing, kind of getting used to. You feel like you're He-Man up here. I'm like, okay, I just drove that 320 yards, but you get back home, it's probably 280.
Kevin, I want to thank you very much. I've always wanted to have you on the program because of that enthusiasm and the way you played the game for such a long period of time, and I thank you for joining us, and on behalf of the troops over in Afghanistan as well that listen to the show each night, thank you very much, Kevin. Take care.
Well, tell them, guys, and men and women, we appreciate them protecting us, and thank you for having me.
Kevin Millar with us on Sports Byline USA. Again, 12 years in the major leagues, and, of course, he started out with the Florida Marlins and then the Boston Red Sox, where he was for three seasons, but one of those seasons was a magical season. It was 2004 when the Red Sox in the ALCS Championship Series against the Yankees came back from being down 0-3. They not only won that series 4-3, but won the World Series then. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.